In your Bibles, Psalms 147, the 147th Psalm, page 670, if you're using the Scofield Bible, and we'll read the first 8 verses. Reading verses 1 through 8 of this 147th Psalm, responsively, and as is our custom to do, shall we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power, his understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to earth. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving, sing praise upon the harp unto our God. Who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. The 8th verse is the text verse. And shall we pray, please? Father, we thank thee, we praise thee. For this day, for this Sunday morning, thank you that we've enjoyed health enough, strength enough to be out and to be here among good people and to be in the very center of thy will for us just now. You'd have us to be here. You'd have us now to be attentive to the Word. Thus we pray the preaching of the Word. Bless the preacher. Help that we might give diligence to hear what you'd speak to us through the mouth of the man of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
The inflation rate continues to rise. The prime rate is now 20%. The price of silver is down, as our brother has found. Gasoline, they say, is going to $2. The dollar is going broke. Social Security is flat busted. And the only way you're going to get any more Social Security is for the Uncle Sam to tax you more so you can get some more. Either way, it's a bleak picture this morning. And so I come to that time in our cycle of messages when I feel it's time again to remind you that my God supplieth all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I feel that our church needs a little settling this morning. We need to realize that our Heavenly Daddy is at the steering wheel. Our Father's at the helm, and everything's all right, and everything is going to be all right. So many of our people are facing financial difficulties, and some, for the first time, really facing financial difficulties, and it's a little awkward to you because you've never faced it before. And this morning I want to speak to you on the subject, he causeth the grass to grow upon the mountains, or better still, grass upon the mountains. And so I want you to listen carefully because we need to be assured this morning. And a part of my pastoral responsibility is to assure you. Numbers of you young people are having to hear Daddy say no for the first time. And I dare say that the hardest thing for any man to face is the time when he has to say no to his family. All of a sudden, he cannot provide the luxuries of life, the wants of life, and then even maybe the necessities of life. And on this Father's Day, I have an idea. Numbers of you fathers are concerned today and even heavy-hearted because for the first time or another time you are facing a serious financial problem. Literally, dozens of our men have been laid off work. Some of our men have been working in the same place 15 years, have been laid off. Heard about a man who'd been working the same place, I think, for 27 years. His company went bankrupt. Not only has he lost his job, but he's lost his pension. And that's just That's just all over this nation. Now, there are areas in the country that have been unaffected, but even those areas are being affected. I was in Dallas the other day. One company there laid off 2,700 men, just like that. And now the Southwest and the Far West, Southern California areas began to feel the pinch now. So I think we ought to remind ourselves, and as your pastor, I think it's one of my duties to remind you, and I delight to do it, that there's a God in heaven. He's still there. Every promise in the book is still as valid as it was the day it was written. He's the God who provides during recession, just like He provides during prosperity. He's the God who provides when the prime rate is 20, as well as He does when the prime rate is 10. He's the God who provides in times of inflation, as well as in times when things seem to be going better. I like the song the choir sang. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Father, bless the message to our hearts. May we listen with our hearts as well as our ears, with our minds as well as our hearts and ears. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very interesting that most Bible truths are located together in the Bible. For example, if you want to find things about prophecy in the Bible, you'll find them in concentrated places. You'll go to the book of Revelation or the book of Daniel. But prophecy is not interwoven too much in the Bible. If you want to find such doctrines, such things as the doctrine of justification, you'll have to go to Romans, to just a part of Romans, or maybe Galatians, to just a part of Galatians, because it seems that God has taken the plan of salvation and redemption's plan and packed it in one area of the Bible. However, there is a truth in the Bible that is given over and over and over again. It is interwoven with the entire canon of Scripture. And that truth deals with the power and the might of our God. Every once in a while, God just stops and says, I sure am strong, and I want to remind you of it. You'll find that in Genesis, and you'll find it in Exodus, you'll find it in Leviticus, you'll find it in every chapter, every book in the Bible. You'll find reminders. For example, you'll find in Jeremiah 32:17 that God can do anything. Then go over to Philippians 4:19, and you'll find that God can do anything. Then go back to Matthew 28, and you'll find that all power is given to Him. And I think one of the things a pastor ought to do is periodically stop and say, hey, people, listen to me. Everything is going to be all right if you'll lose yourself in the will of God. Now, this morning I could take you to passages and remind you of the power of God. I could remind you that God clothes the lily of the field. And if God clothes the lily in as lovely a coat as it has, then God can clothe you. Or I could turn and remind you that God determines the fall of every sparrow. And God not only noteth the fall of every sparrow, but determines when every sparrow falls. And remind you that that God who's concerned about the sparrow knows how much food you have in your cupboard, and knows how much money you have in the bank, and knows every need of your life. Or I could remind you that God feeds the raven. Not the sparrow, but the raven. The raven is an unclean bird, unfit for sacrifice. Not the dove, but the raven, the old flesh-eating raven. God feeds the raven. And I could remind you that if God feeds the raven, certainly God will feed you. Or I could turn to the Scripture and remind you, He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the gold in every mine. He owns the rivers, the rocks and rills, the moon and stars that shine. Wonderful riches more than tongue can tell, and He's my Father, so they're mine as well. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know that He will care for me. Now this morning, I want to just say, my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory. I can hardly say it without smiling, because it's wonderful that God will do it. I was thinking yesterday about this passage. I'm going to preach on this morning. And I remember how that one day when I was a boy, we didn't have any food. As many days, but one day in particular, we had no food in the house. So we lived on Exeter Street in Dallas, Texas, out in the slum area of Dallas. And my mother said, son, let's have a prayer meeting. And my mother prayed and said, Lord, feed my boy today. I pray You'd supply the food for us today. We didn't have anything in the house. Oh, we didn't have anything. We didn't have any piece of bread. We didn't have not a thing. Not one canned good. Nothing. I mean, Nothing. I'm not talking about what you mean when you say nothing. I'm talking about what we meant when we said nothing. We didn't have any flour. We didn't have any meal. We had nothing. Everything was gone. And so Mother prayed. So we went down to the store, and Mother walked with me to the store. Well, all the way to the store, there's a vacant lot, and to save, we could walk across the path in that vacant lot and save some time and some energy. So we walked across the path down to Gordon's store, and Mother said, "Son, go in and tell Mr. Gordon, ask Mr. Gordon if he has a soup bone for the dog." And now the thing about it is we didn't have a dog. And so Mother didn't have a soup bone in mind for the dog. She had a soup bone in mind for me and for her. So I walked in, "Mr. Gordon," I said, "do you have a soup bone for the dog?" And he said, "No, Jackie boy, I have no soup bone at all." So we're walking back home, and no soup bone, nothing to eat at all. And for some reason or other, I know why we didn't. We didn't walk up the path. I had seen a snake in that path, and I hate snakes. I hate anything that crawls. I hate a snake. I hate a worm. I hate a bug. I don't even like kids so they can walk. And I said, "Mother, I'm scared to walk across that path. A snake will get us." And so we had to walk, instead of walking across the path, we walked down like this and this way. And there's a railroad track over here on Frio Drive. Now, Frio Drive was much like our Lyman Street here, the long railroad track. And there were Frio Drive was two streets. One of the street on one side of the track, one other side of the track. We're walking down Frio Drive. Normally, we'd walk across the path. But I'd seen a snake, and I was afraid to walk across the path. So we went down beside the road track, and Mother said, "Son, do you see what I see?" And I said, "Well, what, Mother?" And she said, "Mustard greens." And I said, "Mustard greens? Where?" And she said, "They're growing wild along the track here." And Mother stopped and picked mustard greens. Now, unless you've eaten mustard greens, you're really not very much. Until you've seen Niagara Falls and Pikes Peak and eat mustard greens, you've missed most of your life. And especially if you can get some bacon grease and pour over those mustard greens and wilt them just a little bit. Shall we stand for our closing prayer, please? And we'll all go to the railroad tracks and try to find mustard greens. Ah, but my mother clapped her hands and thanked God he supplied our needs. And you know, for a week or two, we ate off the mustard greens down beside the railroad track. That's soul food, Brother Stan. That's soul food. Amen. And I can't say it right. Come on. That's it. Come on. That's right. And but God does. Now, God's got ways to take care of your needs. Yes, he does. Now, I could take any one of these little figures of speech. He clothes the lily. He determines the flight of the sparrow. He feeds the raven. I could take scriptures like, "My God shall supply all your need." But one of the scriptures that God uses to remind us of his ample provision is this scripture in Psalm 147, verse 8. It says, "He causeth the grass to grow on the mountains." Now, you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" I'm talking about grass growing on the mountains. They tell me that in the Alps, high in the Swiss Alps, there are lawn-like growths of grass that are more beautiful than you'll find most anywhere else in the world. Now, here's the thing about it. There's no explanation for this grass up in the Alps. Because the first place, it's a rocky place, and only a little tiny thin layer of dirt is on top of these rocks. And yet, in that little thin layer of dirt, you have rooted the loveliest lawns, they say, anywhere in the world, way up in the Alps. Now, no one fertilizes it. And, by the way, it produces no flowers or seeds. I wish I had time to tell you how this grass grows, miraculously grows. And seeds are blown away anyway with the storm. And there are four times as many flesh-eating insects up there as there are herb-eating insects. God simply says, "Okay, on all you flesh-eating insects to go up there, the high peaks of the Alps, and eat all the herb-eating insects before they get the grass." And without any fertilizer, without any lawn sprinkler, without any reason at all, miraculously, grass is growing way up there, thousands and thousands of feet in the Alps. That's God's lawn. And you compare that with you. You fight the crabgrass in your lawn, and then the dandelions, and then the grub worms, and then you water it and fertilize it and put on turf builder and weed killer and grass feeder and lawn sprinkler, and then divorce your husband because he can't make a decent yard out in front of the house. And all the time, way up there in the mountains, about that much dirt, no fertilizer, no turf builder,
no lawn feeder, God causes the grass to grow. And here's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, if God can grow grass on the rocks of mountains, then can't that God take care of you? In fact, the entire 147th Psalm is to convince us that God can take care. So, that's what, by the way, that's up high. God takes care of everybody who lives on a higher plane. And on a higher plane I dwell, the writer said. And all you've got to, look at me, all you've got to do is lose yourself in the will of God for your life and live on the higher plane and God will take care of you. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide. God will take care of you. Not may, be God could, not should. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. That's what Matthew 6:33 means. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's what Psalm 37:4 means. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Now, folks, rest yourself this morning. Don't fret. Oh, how are we going to make it? Well, let God worry about that. You just sit down like a little boy taking a trip through the park and wonder how God's going to take care of it next. That's what, delight thyself in the Lord. Here you are. Oh, my soul. Oh, I lost my job. Oh, my soul. How are we going to make it? That's not delighting in the Lord. Delighting in the Lord is to say, praise the Lord, He's going to take care of me. And He says, He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Or how about Psalm 37:3? Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Funny thing, almost everybody that comes to me starving to death weighs 275 pounds. Yeah, almost, I said last week to that, almost everybody. Little house, we just don't have any food on the table. Of course you don't. It's all in your gut there, stupid. That's where, you got any food on the table, it's all inside. And if you just eat as much as the rest of us eat, you'd have some left for the table, or some left for the cupboard. But I mean, nobody ever comes to me with their bones sticking out and their ribs showing and their clothes hanging like it's on a clothes hanger and says, we don't have any food to eat. It's always some great big fellow says, we're just out of food at our house. What can we do? I mean, I'm simply saying, there's a God in heaven. It's time God's people quit being atheists. You say, oh, this guy down at Emory University, he said God's dead. I hate that God's dead philosophy. Well, your God's dead. You fret and you worry and you stew. and let me give you some things. First is claim a verse. Find a verse in the Bible and claim it. You might want to claim, for example, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Becky's here this morning. You've heard me say this, but Becky always had the sneakiest ways to get things from her dad. She'd say, Dad, would you buy me a new dress if I do so-and-so? And I'd say yes. And Becky'd say, would you put that on writing, if he's in writing? And I'd say, okay, I will buy Becky a new dress if she does so-and-so. She said, would you sign that, please? And I'd sign it. And so a few months have come. She said, Dad, I'm ready for the dress. I said, what dress is that? She says, Dad, the dress you promised to buy me. Well, I didn't promise to buy you a dress. I'd forgotten. And she said, yes, you did. And I said, no, I didn't. Yes, you did. Becky, I didn't do it. She said, who wrote this? And so we'd go hunting for a dress, Goodwill or some other good store in town, and hunting for a dress. Why don't you look up to God and say, dear Lord, you promised to supply my need. Now, where is it? And the Lord says, what, me? Yeah, you. Well, I don't remember that. Who wrote this? See? And just remind him of it. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just take a verse. You might want to take Romans 8:28. For all things work together for good to them who love God, to those that are called according to His purpose. You might want to take Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Listen, I went through college on Jeremiah 33:3. I turned to Jeremiah 33:3 and hold it up and say, there it is, Lord. Read it for yourself if you don't believe it's in there. I've gotten on the top of the education building, First Baptist Church, Marshall, Texas, and held it up high and let God see it. Listen! You got, pardon me for saying it, but you got God with a hair short there. I mean, if God said it, His words at stake. Yeah. Listen, God, if God breaks a promise in this book, if God does not keep any one word in this book He made, then the stars would fall and the sun would come too close to the earth and would burn the earth in great fire, and the moon would turn to blackest sackcloth of hair, and the heavens would tumble and tremble, and the whole universe would go out of socket if God didn't keep His word. So you just get some verse in the Bible, hang on to it, squeeze it good and hard, and show it to God. You might want to choose Psalm 37:19. In the days of famine they shall be satisfied. Or you might want to choose Psalm 91:1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or you might want to choose Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or you might prefer Psalm 37:25. I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Or you might want to choose Hebrews 13:5. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But get you a verse and claim it and squeeze it and claim. God will take care of you and remind him that he will. Something else that will help you, and you'll be surprised how much this will help your faith. And that is sing it. Sing it. Did you know singing some song, for example, you sing something like, My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is sing it. Follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Sing it. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do, I'll start off some morning singing that song. My Lord knows. I'll walk down the street singing that song. And I get me a microphone every morning when I do it. I walk down the street. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. And all I have to do is follow. Dum, 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 dum. I can't whistle after I preach. And I'll whistle it and hum it, and all day long I'll hum it. And you know, Dr. Evans, it builds my faith. If I just keep singing it. Keep singing it. My Lord knows the way. Sing it, sing it, sing it, sing it. Or you might want to sing, everything's all right. Sing it. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy. I'll bind you. You sing that song all day someday, and I'll guarantee you, you'll have faith in God. I mean, sing it. The Bible talks about that. A song in your heart. The Lord has put a new song in my heart. I do it every day. I pick me a song the first of the day and sing it all day long. All day long I'll sing it. I remember that day. I've told you about it before, and the students at the college remember it well. When the fire came and burned the boys' dormitory. Thing had just been built. We'd spent months and months trying to get the money and then and build the dormitory. All of a sudden, the thing caught on fire, and the fellows had to jump out the windows, and the dormitory was burned. And I was in New Jersey, and I called Dr. Evans, and he said, "Preacher, you better get back here." He said, "The spirit of the student body needs to be raised a little bit." And I asked God to help me, how to help the student body. And that morning, the smell of fire in the chapel there, and the chapel right next door to the dormitory that burned, and the spirits were down a little bit. And I walked out, no announcements, nothing, no special. I just walked out, started singing. And I sang, everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy, joy. Now sing it again. Everything's all right. Don't you sing it yet. I'm singing to you. Well, I'm singing. You listen. You don't hear a voice like this very often. And I sang it again. Everything. I say it again, and I got through. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy. And I said to the students, join me, sing it. Everything's all right in my Father's house, in my Father's house, in my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house where there's joy, joy. And the people not singing it, you're not going to build your faith. You're going to go home and you're going to say, oh, what's going to happen? Hey, what's going to happen? God's going to be in heaven all day today. And he's going to stay awake most all night tonight. And we sang it 5 minutes and just kept singing. And we kept singing, everything's all right. And we tapped our hands in my Father's house. In my Father's house, sing it. In my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy. And we kept singing it 10 minutes. We sang it and kept on singing it, I guess about 15 minutes. Then we started singing, everything's all right. Good, in my Father's house. Come on, in my Father's house. Come on, off, Riddick. In my Father's house, everything's all right. In my Father's house, where there's joy, joy. And we sang and we sang and we sang. That's all we did, about 15 minutes. Didn't say a word, just sang. And you know, by the time we had sung about 15 minutes, every student in the student body was glad that the dormitory burned. Everyone. Look, listen, the joy of the Lord is not determined by buildings, dormitories burned or not burned. The joy of the Lord is not determined whether your church house burns down or not. The joy of the Lord is determined by the blessed promises of this book. But you say, well, you might try. Sing, just sing. You might try. The windows of heaven are open. And try that one a while. And sing it all day long. It'll build your faith. It'll take you out from under the juniper tree. If you don't know any songs, make up your own. I make them up. I get a scripture like this. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. Riches and glory, riches and glory, riches and glory, riches and glory. Man, listen, you didn't know all these talents I had. Sing it, man, sing it. Sing it. I'm simply saying, there is a way. You get a scripture in this book and you hold it and you squeeze it. There's a God in heaven. It's time you quit worrying and fretting and acting like you're a heathen atheist. God is alive today. And God is on His throne today. And God can still take care of His own today. And the reason God doesn't give you what you need, you go moping around all the time. Sing the victory song. Get on the top side. Well, you sit at the house under the circumstances. Get out from under those circumstances. Sit on top of them. Stomp them. Walk on them. Sing about it. And then read about it. Maybe you ought to read how that God fed 3 million Jews for 40 years. You ought to get in the book and read how that God gave water to those 3 million Jews from an old rock. How God caused their shoes not to wear for 40 years, and how God sent ravens to feed Elijah, and how God provided the raven his food and clothed the grass and fed quail to his people for 30 days in a barren wilderness. Read about it. Get the book. Quit reading stock market. Read the book. Get your mind, nose out of Wall Street Journal and get it in God's, get in the Golden Street Journal. Yeah. I know it's tough. There never has been a night so dreary but that God could not provide for His own. And there's never been a cupboard so barren but that God could not put food in it. And it's time that God's people said, we're God's people and our God. And you know, it's good every once in a while for us to have to prove there's a God. I wish I could tell you all the times, oh my soul, how that God has proved Himself. You don't know all the stories. One of these days, the story of this church is going to be written in heaven. And you're going to know something about the prayers this preacher's prayed and about how God has provided our needs. I wish I could tell you story after story after story how it just looked like we weren't going to be able to make it. And the Lord supplied it. It's time for me this morning to say there's a God in heaven again. And that God causeth the grass to grow on the mountains where man cannot grow it. And where humanly it seems impossible, there's a God in heaven who causes the grass to grow. Little widow, trying to piece together enough money to make ends meet. Your child came and said, Mama, can I go to camp? And you said, I don't see how in the world I can pay the trip to camp. By the way, no child in this church has to say that. We'll see to it that your child, if you're out of work, we'll see to it your child. Or if you're a little widow and can't afford it, we'll see to it your child goes to camp. But comes time for the sweetheart banquet, and you can't buy a dress for your child. Ah, let me tell you, God knows, and God loves you, and God's concerned, and God cares. And maybe this morning, some of you men, oh, it's a tough thing for a man. I guess one thing about a man, you ladies don't understand this, but we think we're omnipotent. Every man thinks he's omnipotent. It's going to shock you. I've never seen a man, Stan, in my life that I didn't think I could lick. Never have. Isn't that something? I never have. I mean, I'm sure there must be somebody in the world that whooped me. I just don't know who he is. And by the way, every man's that way. Every man. Every real man just thinks sort of he'll figure out some way to lick that guy. If Muhammad Ali attacked me on the street, I think I'd grind him to powder. Yeah? 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 You say, Brother Howe, much learning doesn't make me mad. Oh, I'm worse when I get mad. Yeah. I guess, Brother John, I guess nobody could ever know unless he's a man and has faced it what it'd be like to come home and say to his family, I got laid off. And I'll be honest with you. I don't have anything. But I'm right now working with, I guess, 25 people trying to figure out what we can do just to keep the wolf away from the door. And I understand what some of you men are facing. Could your pastor this morning just take a few minutes to say, he's still up there and he's still able to care for your needs. My Lord knows the way, sing it through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is, my Lord shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Say it. My Lord shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give the desires of thine heart. Say it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine. Call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Say it. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Say it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Sing it. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house. Where there's joy, joy. Now, just grin a little bit and sing it. Ready? Everything's all right in my Father's house. Not quite so much. In my Father's house. In my Father's house. Everything's all right in my Father's house, where there's joy, joy. Or you could sing, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory. That's one I wrote. I didn't write, I had some help on the words, but the psalmist said, what do you mean? God can't take care of you. What do you mean? He said, look up there. He causeth the grass to grow on the mountains. He probably can cause some turnip greens to grow wild in your backyard. Our Heavenly Father,